Welcome to a new episode of Africa with André, where we celebrate Africa one story at a time.
There are about 350,000 elephants in the world, and several thousand of them die every year. Either they're poached, or they've lost habitat, or there is conflict between humans and animals. Today we're chatting about Namibia, that country in southwest Africa with just under 3 million human inhabitants and around 23,000 elephants. The wildlife in Namibia is really fascinating. The deserts have a lot more life than you might think. Don't be fooled by all that sand. I myself have been lucky enough to see some desert horses in the south of the country. But in the northwest, you will find the desert elephants. There are only about 150 of these specially adapted animals left. And it is precisely about these and the challenges in their lives that we're talking to Daniel Oswald today. Hi, Dani. Nice to have you on the podcast.
Hello, André. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to talk about elephants today.
Yeah, we know that Namibia is a country that changed your life. You were a Swiss banker, and I always like to joke that the elephants changed your life.
Well, in fact, they actually did, yes.
Tell us first, who are you and how do we know each other?
My name is Daniel, and I used to work for a Swiss bank, got bored of it and wanted to change my career. And so I ended up in an interview for a job in your office. And yeah, I was lucky enough to get accepted. And so we worked together for the past decade almost.
That's right. I remember that interview. I sat there going, what is wrong with this guy that he wants to leave a Swiss bank and a Swiss bank salary to come and work in tourism? But when I mentioned what the salary would be, because tourism doesn't pay very well, you were still very happy to come and work with us. And I think it was your calling in life to come and work in the tourism industry.
It absolutely was, yeah. Because salary is, of course, not everything. If you just sit around bored every day and do all the same day in, day out, then you look for a change.
Yeah. We're talking today specifically about the Elephant Human Relations Aid Project in Namibia, which was the impetus for you making the change. Tell us about this project and where it is in Namibia and what it does.
Yes, it was my first touch point with Africa. The project is located in the Damara land.
That's in the northwest of Namibia,
right? Northwest of Namibia, around the Brandberg area. And the aim of the project is to reduce the conflict between desert elephants and the local farmers.
What is a conflict? I mean, the elephant's not going to come and steal my wife or my husband. So what sort of conflict are we talking about?
No, they change something far more important than your wife. They steal your water. Well, no. The thing is, the local farmers, they tend to their goat herds, which is their base of living. And of course, these goats and of course the family needs some water, as do the elephants. The water is scarce there and very precious.
Yeah.
So they come mostly during the night. They see, the farmer, he has a windmill that pumps water from the ground into a fountain. And he goes there, drinks from the fountain. And while he drinks, he feels a scratch on his back. So the windmill can help with that.
So he breaks the windmill while
accidentally
scratching the itch on his back.
Absolutely. The windmill falls down and the farmer has a massive problem because his neighbor is miles away. And then if he has to get his water there for all his goats, his cows maybe he has, and for his wife and some children, then he has a problem. And obviously he gets angry about the elephants and then the conflict starts.
What is one example of how this project helps reduce this conflict?
Well, it's a very hands-on solution. They are building a wall around these water pumps to protect them from the elephants. But they still grant access to the water for the elephants, so they can drink.
So you build a wall around the fountain, and how do the elephants still get water?
No, we build a wall around the pump. So the pump is protected by the wall, but next to it, there's still a fountain, like a little basin, from where the animals drink out, like the goats, but also the elephants.
Okay.
They drink there, and then they move on. No damage done. Everybody's happy.
We'll talk more about the project later. I'm interested in your story. How often have you taken part in this, and how did you find this project, and how did it change your life?
Well, I've been there three times so far. The first time was in 2010. I was sitting in my office in the Swiss bank, and I got bored and I needed to have a break, like a timeout, and thought I need to go traveling, see something new. But at that point, I didn't have Africa in mind at all. At first, I was looking for volunteers or work and travel projects around Southeast Asia. And when I was reading all these homepages who offer such stuff, I accidentally stumbled about that ERA Desert Elephant Project in Namibia. I started reading and my old Boy Scout heart started pounding. That's exactly what I need. It's like living in nature, remote areas, tracking elephants, hands-on work, sleeping under the stars, all that stuff that triggered me, and I knew instantly I want this. I stopped searching for all the other stuff and then I stayed there for 1 month.
Did you have any concerns before you went? Because you'd never been to Africa. How did you feel?
Well, I think in the retro perspective, I was a bit over aware. I paid too much attention to everything. Is this guy gonna scam me? Is this guy gonna rob me?
Yeah.
I read in the news there's a very low criminality in Namibia. So I wasn't really worried. I was just overly cautious. But soon I realized, oh, these people are all so friendly. And then I relaxed quite quickly.
So you've been three times. You said to me that this first experience changed your life. It turned your life upside down in a positive way. What is it about this experience that had this big impact on your life?
Yes, it was like I was there, I went into the bush and I got that Africa virus. It's his life with nature. I was so fascinated by that guides who work there, how they are connected and their knowledge about the animals and the environment and the tracks and the signs and the birds and everything. And I wanted to have more about it. So next time I went back to Africa, I went into the Kruger National Park and did more touring in Africa until I realized, hey, you're not happy in the bank office anymore. You are happy when you are in Africa. You have to connect these two things. So then I started thinking and decided I need to change my career from banking to African tourism.
So your first trip to Africa was Namibia with the elephants. Your second trip was the Kruger National Park?
Yes. So I did a 4 weeks ranger experience course where they teach us a lot about the animals, the animal behaviors, about tracking and how everything is connected in nature. That was very interesting. I enjoyed it very much.
Normally volunteers go for 2 weeks at a time. What does that involve? What do you do in those 2 weeks?
Well, you stay for a minimum of 2 weeks, and that is divided in two parts. Part one is the build week, when you go out and build these walls we mentioned.
Okay.
Part two is the patrol week. Then you go and track and monitor the elephants. So you go out in the Land Cruiser, you track the elephants, then you take the data, where are they, how many are there, is the herd still complete, is cows having signs of pregnancy, etc., etc.
Okay.
And especially you monitor their locations, their ways where they wander, their routes, where do they migrate. So the project can decide where to build these protection walls.
And where are you building these walls? Who owns these pumps?
Well, you need to know there in that area of the Mara land, what I find so fascinating is it is not a national park, but still it's an area full of wildlife. It's one of the wildest areas in the world, probably.
Okay.
And there are living some Namibian local farmers who are tending to their little goat herds. Maybe some have some cows, but mostly goats or sheep. And they live there since generations.
So these are communities living off the land, subsistence farmers?
Absolutely, yes. and they need the protection for their water pumps, and those are getting the help from ERA.
There must be lots of farmers there and lots of water pumps. How is it decided who will get a pump wall?
Well, there is a waiting list, and I guess the decision is made due to the elephant movements. So those who are in that immigration corridors will of course have priority.
And we know the corridors because elephants use the same paths for generations.
Yes, and we learn about them in the patrol weeks.
Does ERA have any other projects other than the building of the walls?
Yes, another pillar, and a very important pillar, is the education of the local communities. When the project grew, they had the capacity to extend it and said, yes, it is very important for such a project to involve the local community, because without them it's simply not working.
Absolutely.
So they started the Peace Project, for example, which is an education project for the communities where they learn about the elephant behavior. So they lose their nervosity and their fear of the elephants. And they know, when it's shaking the ears, it's not mean that it will just kill me. I don't need to be afraid. I need to stay calm. And they learn how to behave.
So that they understand what the elephant is trying to communicate to them.
Yeah, correctly. Yeah. It gives them a much better understanding, takes away their fears, and builds up some trust, if I may say so. Yeah. And there's also the SEED project, which is also an educational project, but aims for the youth and the children. They are getting lessons and they learn about the environment and hopefully seeds some fascination for the wildlife, and they learn from a young age that it is worth protecting it. I have also built a very nice info center, which is on the roads. If you drive north to Tweefontein, you take a short detour, you can visit it, learn about the elephants. It's open for tourists, but it's also where the lessons take place for the Peace and Seed projects.
I think that's very important work that they're doing, because, I mean, you and I have both heard about lots of problems between communities and wild animals, not only with elephants, with animals stealing crops. I've heard a lot of success stories of these projects where the community is educated not to be afraid of the animal, but rather to find ways to live together. What concrete results have you seen or experienced from the projects? And do you have any good news examples that you can share with us?
Well, my impression is that when I was there for the first time, the people were more skeptical than they were now. There was this incident in 2010 where there were two farmers on the donkey trail who were like swearing at us, "What are you doing here? Why do you bring the elephants to us?"
Oh, so now it was your fault that the elephants were coming to them.
Exactly, because they didn't realize that we are following the elephants and not the other way around. And I think such behavior I haven't noticed in my later visits anymore. I feel like there is much more understanding for the necessity to cooperate and the benefits to have elephants around. They're not just seen as a threat anymore.
That's a nice story. It's nice to see that the education is working and that they're seeing the benefits. You obviously went as a Swiss person. Who else goes there to volunteer? Where do the people come from? What sort of backgrounds do they have?
Well, many different kind of peoples. There are many Europeans, there are many North Americans, and they all have the background that they do like nature. Many of them are there the first time in Africa, as I was. What is astonishing is they're all age groups. From the 20-year-old youngster from his first journey abroad, yeah, to a senior 70-year-old lady who is still enjoying it and working as hard as she can.
That's cool. And what is it like when you're there? Because I'm sure that there's no 4-star guest house with little soaps and frilly towels for you to enjoy after a day of building a wall.
No, fortunately not. No, the life is basic but very comfortable. You sleep on a bedroll, a little mattress, yeah, in your sleeping bag, and most of the time under the fascinating Namibian stars.
Oh, so you don't even sleep in a building?
No, when you're in base camp, then you sleep on a platform of a tree, which is very comfortable and very popular by the volunteers. On build week, we might have some tents in case it rains. Yeah, will you bring them along? But most of the time, what all the people prefer is like sleeping at the fire under the stars. And that's the basic life. The cooking is all done at the fire, and it's so good.
I've hiked the Fish River Canyon twice, and there we also slept under the stars for 4 or 5 nights, and that's something very special. The starry sky there is just incredible.
Yes, everybody who is a little bit outdoorsy, enjoys the nature, he will enjoy that. And there's nothing to be afraid of.
Do you not get any visitors during the night?
Well, if you're lucky and you sleep on the platform, there might be an elephant like just feeding from the tree. But this is completely harmless. You want to know a funny story?
Yeah.
One night I was awakened because something under my mat was disturbing me. There was a little mouse who was digging the tunnel under my mat and stealing my sleep. Next morning, I came to the breakfast table and everybody was like, oh, have you noticed the elephant who was feeding from the tree? The tree where we slept, where I lay under. And I said, no, I didn't. Such an irony. There's a little mouse waking me up. But the big elephant, I slept over that.
There's that fairy tale from my childhood that comes to mind, The Princess and the Pea.
Yeah. Yeah, believe me, that mouse was more active than a pea.
And you didn't notice the elephant. They're so big, but they can be so quiet.
They are. That's so impressive. He didn't want to wake us up. He was just quietly snapping some leaves and then moving on.
Wow. What do you personally gain from going to this project? Why do you keep going back? And I'm sure that you will go back again.
Yeah, I totally plan to. For me, this is such a peaceful place. It's like a mental comfort zone to be out there in the nature, in that beautiful, remote landscape. Not many people around, like the total opposite of Zurich. And then doing this stuff. I love being active during my holidays. I love being in the nature, in the bush.
Yeah.
I love being around nice people. And that's what I all get down there.
I know that they're looking for volunteers all the time. Who would you recommend does something like this?
I can recommend this for like everybody who likes to be active, everybody who loves to be in the nature. Don't be shy and get scared off because of that basic living there with the kitchen on the fire and the bedroll under the stars. This is what makes the experience so special. It doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young. Just as long as you have a basic fitness, you can go there and you will be able to contribute to the project.
And I suppose mentally doing something completely different, you're learning about animals, you're learning about how life used to be, and you're being physically active.
Absolutely. I'm 100% sure that nobody who was ever there will ever forget that experience.
I like to finish my episodes with questions about favorites. What is your favorite experience from your visits to this project?
It was actually my first visit, the second patrol week, where we have been with the Mara family in the north. And they were so enthusiastic that we came there to help with the wall. The whole family was helping. The daughters were mixing cement and the boys were collecting rocks. They were very happy and there was such a cool spirit during that week. So we finished the wall within one build week. Usually you have to know it takes about 2 weeks. One group lays the foundation, makes the first meter, and then the second group comes and finishes the wall.
How big is this wall?
The wall is about the shoulder height of an adult man. And it's about on the base 50 centimeter wide.
And how long is the wall?
The diameter of a wall is, I guess, about 4 meters in average.
So, sorry, but then why does it take, that's not a very big wall, why does it take 2 weeks to build a wall like that? I mean, that in my mind, it should take 2 or 3 days.
No, you have to understand. You need to start from the base. You are collecting all the rocks in the area. You are collecting the sand from the area. You are mixing the cement. And then you have to put all that together.
Uh-huh. So there's no pile of bricks when you arrive and a load of sand brought by a lorry. You actually need to go and find rocks in the neighboring area and bring them there in order to build the wall.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing you bring along is the tools and the bags of cement.
Okay, that's why it went so much quicker if the family is helping you.
Yes, and they were so amazed and so grateful that we built that wall. They slaughtered one of their goats for us, which is a very precious thing for them. They cooked it for us, and then they served us some of the best malva pudding I ever had in the middle of the desert. I don't know how they did that, but it was lecker.
For those who don't know, malva pudding has nothing to do with the goat. So you had the goat meat, and then the malva pudding is a dessert. That is quite remarkable if they managed to do that in the middle of nowhere.
They did for us, yeah. That's unforgettable, yeah.
Is it ever funny when people arrive for the first time and they don't know what they're expecting, or is everyone pretty well briefed?
Yes, it is. And as I know what they expect, I like to watch their faces and see their reactions. Most of them, like 99.9%, they are amazed. It's very positive. They are well prepared for what they're expecting. But there is the occasional exceptions. I remember well this guy from New York. He must have had such a bad travel agent. He expected to have an elephant safari in lodges, and that the wall building is just like a once-off activity, more something like a symbolic act. So he does something. Then he arrived and he realized, all right, 1 week, just building walls. He was a bit shocked at the beginning.
Did he even bring a sleeping bag? I mean, he didn't pack correctly.
Yeah, he did bring the sleeping bag. About that, he was informed. But what I liked, that in the end, he enjoyed it anyway. He had his fun and he had a good time.
What is your favorite spot in Namibia, anywhere in the country?
Well, sorry, I have to bore you. For me, for all that reasons, it's the Damara land, because I have this personal connection there, because I'm so fascinating about the coexistence of the farmers and the wildlife, all that wilderness there, and the stars and the landscape.
Yeah, I get that. Dani, thank you so much for taking us on a journey through this project and your life-changing experience.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure sharing it.
And I wish you a lot of luck and fun the next time you go, which I'm sure will be soon.
I hope so, yeah.
Today we talked about the Elephant-Human Relation Aid Project in Namibia and how the experience of working there turned Daniel's life as a bank employee upside down, in a good way. It's always fantastic when people discover a purpose in their life, especially when it has to do with Africa. In the show notes, you'll find a link to EHRA, and if you want to read more or even take part yourself, you can find the information there. Has Africa changed your life too? Tell us on Instagram, Africa with Andre, or send me an email to podcast@africawithandre.com. Until the next time.